In this episode of It Starts With You podcast, I get a chat with a good friend of mine called Tim Chataway about all things recruitment, really. We cover huge subject matter. I promised I wouldn't call this the rantings of Tim and Mark. But we do. We have a good conversation. We do kind of air some feelings and thoughts on various subject matters in the recruitment industry. And we've got a lot more to talk about, but we can only fit it into just less than an hour. I hope you enjoy this, and I'll catch you on the other side. Take care. So, here he is, Tim Chataway. How are you, mate?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm in a good mood today, which is rare, which is why we probably had to change the time of this.
It's always best to get you in a good mood, and then we can have a good conversation where you're not telling me to go fuck myself. But
I never tell you that.
I go off on a rant about someone else, unfortunately, and that will happen. I'll just derail the entire subject while I'm just picking someone on LinkedIn that's annoying me. Slagging them off for 20 minutes.
And that's what you and I started the Recruiter's Arms off the back of ranting about stuff, like how stuff is not working right, and stuff like that.
It's good though. I mean, the old LinkedIn chat group, where it was just like, hey, have you seen what this is that they're doing about their recruitment strategy? And then it was like, yeah. And then it would go off on like a rant for the entire afternoon about how they can do it better.
Yeah, that's it. It was you, me, Josh, and Shane, and we did get to. Do you know the funny thing about that? We did come to conclusions quite a lot, actually, and how things. And that's when we went, "Hey, there's something in this. We need more people to enter this conversation."
I mean, it was really cathartic, and I think it fixed a lot of. We put the world to rights in our own little brains.
That was the birth of what we did, the Recruiter's Arms. Which is still around if anyone wants to join it. That's a recruiter, but it's not. We're not trying to change the world, are we? We're just there as a support mechanism, as a sounding board, as a punch bag, or whatever you want to call it for recruiters that are a little bit disenfranchised from things. Like that's how I see it.
Well, and people come in there for a bit of advice and help, and I think it's often. Seeing more now of that social media side where people are going, hey, look, I'm writing this content. What do you think? How can I change this? You know, what can I add to it?
Yeah.
And it's just getting that instant feedback from your peers around the ways you could potentially make it a little bit better or get a bit more traction for it, which is quite nice. Or ideas of, I said the other day, someone was asking about how to talk to candidates to be a little bit different, which I thought was a good question. And quite fun.
And we get other things like, oh, I've got this problem with a client. How do I resolve it? And I think 9 times out of 10, everyone gets in there and everyone follows everyone's advice. And I think I make it akin to AA. Everyone comes in and they just get shit off their chest. I'm not on social media making them look like a bunch of arseholes, which is what this podcast is going to be about. How to not look like an arsehole on social media.
You picked me to do this. I think the only person worse than me to do this would be Josh. But sure, let's go for it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I've done one with Josh many moons ago, and it was a good. No, Josh is a really good guy, he's actually a pussycat in real life, isn't he, Tim? Josh.
Yes.
He's a really. So. Yeah.
As someone who sat there and played computer games with him on a Friday evening, having a couple of beers and talking online as we're playing really sad computer games, then I can agree with that.
He just rarely phones me anymore, but we've had many conversations about life and the way it is. But that's a good person to start with, really. Is kind of. Because this is what we were wanted to, because we always seem to kind of synergy our conversation seems to be around the way people come across on social media, what's working for some people, what's working for others. And Josh has a methodology, doesn't he, that seems to work for him, for his sector, for the way he does it.
But it's the most basic thing from social media and from selling or marketing in general. Be yourself. You know, or if you're not going to be yourself, at least follow one persona and don't change every 2 seconds, because that's the group you bring on board. If you look at like Mike Winnett, for example, He knows who his audience is, and he knows who he wants to engage with. If people don't like who he is, you know, the people who don't get satire, the people who don't get, you know, all these sorts of bits and bobs he does, they'll quickly unfollow him. But he doesn't care. He'd rather lose, you know, 5,000 followers who don't give a crap about what he's doing and gain 20 people who like his stuff and understand where he's coming from, because he's created this one persona and one personality that is who he is. But he's honest about everything that he does.
And that's the thing, his persona was honest, but then he picked a subject matter to talk about, which is the entrepreneur, and that's what the vast majority of his marketing and what he does social media wise, what he does podcasts, YouTubes and stuff like that. And then he just adds into himself. And that's what Josh does as well. I'm a rector, right? Exactly. But I'm a rector with an attitude. So here we go. Yeah. This is me. Take it or leave it. And I admire that.
No, definitely. And it's the failing sometimes of a lot of people when they first come into recruitment and social media or LinkedIn, shall we say, is probably the biggest one, where people come into the situation and go, right, I'm going to be what my company wants me to be. Okay, they're hugely corporate. They want me to be hugely corporate. So I'm just going to write really crappy sentences saying, you know, my client wants to find excellent candidates and all this crap. That's like a mail merge piece of bollocks that gets shoved on there that no one reads, no one clicks on their links, and then they'd wonder why it doesn't work. And then at some point throughout their career, they realize they have to have their own personality, and just being their agency personified in a bag of flesh isn't working for them. And you see these people now, and I think you're seeing more and more, which is really fun and enjoyable about LinkedIn. People's personalities coming through from when you wouldn't expect it, and it's humanizing them. Yes. I think the only issue you get with that, though, is some of the agencies that are just absolute scum are realizing as well that if they humanize themselves, people will go and work for them. So they're just putting out these utter tripe about how they're the, you know, lovely human beings. And
but it's not sustainable. That formula is not sustainable at all, because they will get found out very quickly, as they won't be able to keep producing that level of content, because you need to be very active to do that. And then the people which are genuine, like I told you about earlier, Mark Gaisford, and even Jack as well, there's loads of people out there actually starting to become quite. You can feel who they are, and you can feel what they really represent. And then, like you say, these people for some of the other companies, I just think they need to either stop doing video or just start writing better. I don't know what it is. I don't know what which way they need to go.
Well, I don't know if it's either of those things. I mean, you know, as much as you kind of go, I'd love it if some of these agencies just shut the fuck up and stop putting content out, because. You know, you go on their glass door, or, you know, you've been around long enough that you know who the agency is, and you know they've got like an 80% retention rate. Yeah. They're going, oh, you know, we keep all our staff, everyone wants to work here. And then you look at their photos on Hunted, and every week it's a different set of recruiters in every photo. It's like the summer party, there's 10 people. And then you look at the Christmas party, and it's 10 new people. The only person who's the same is the CEO, who looks like he sniffed up half of Colombia. And you just sit there and think, you know, why are you saying this is an amazing place to work but no one wants to work there? Who is it? Someone recently on LinkedIn was going, you know, what should I be doing if I want to get into recruitment? I said, if you interview anywhere, go and look them up on LinkedIn and look at how many staff have left there in the last 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, and you'll get a good picture of who's gone, who stayed. And then go and check out their Glassdoor and see if there's reviews and that sort of thing. But it just seems to be this place at the moment where those people, the more people are spending on marketing, the more they've got to hide.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. And also, if you do find them and they've offered you a job, ask them why the churn is so bad in their business. Mm. Because if they come back to you and say, oh, they just didn't work out, well, we all know what that means. They weren't coached, they weren't developed, they weren't trained, and your company shit. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, I mean, sold false promises. You know, it's a lot of the time. If you see, I love my lunch hours now. So exciting because I'm getting older. But sitting on Glassdoor and looking at some of the scumbag firms and reading some of the replies back from disgruntled CEOs when someone leaves a bad review.
Yeah,
and they're going, you know. oh, you left because you're just saying long hours. That's recruitment. We work long hours. We work 6 till 10 o'clock at night every day. If you're not willing to put the hours in and all this sort of thing, you just think, fuck it now, shall we? Come on.
And that's the problem, isn't it? There's still these, and the world is moving on, and these companies still think it's 1982, and this is how you do recruitment. And yet, I'm speaking to some people at the moment, actually, because I'm doing a little bit of a rec-to-rec, and my eyes are still opening. Like, you still do that? Seriously? You can't leave at 1 o'clock on a Friday, go to the dentist, but taking half a day? Why? What is going on there? What? You can't work from home just for 2 hours to wait for a parcel? Well, what the hell is going on? And it's really strange because I'm starting to feel that the industry in parts is moving on so fast. It's leaving these companies way behind. And the people working for them may find themselves out of a job in the near future because everyone's jumped to the better companies. I don't know.
Or do you think that's the problem? Always exists. I mean, I spoke about this actually to someone, I think, yesterday or the day before. I don't know, all the days blend into one, don't they? But I was speaking to someone about it because I spoke to someone on the phone and he was a recruiter and he was talking about the fact that he's leaving where he currently is because he's similar sort of age to me. He's got 2 kids.
Yeah.
He's not that, you know, he doesn't want to go out for beers every night and all that sort of thing. He's not into that culture. He's got a life now, basically.
Yeah.
And he wants to leave where he is because he keeps on coming into the office or coming back from meetings and people are sitting in the meeting room with a big old bag of cocaine. And he's just like, I walked in the other day and there was a receptionist and one of the senior consultants with a big bag of coke. And you're like, what the fuck? You know, like in the office. And I'm like, you know, if I think back to 12, 13, 14, 15 years ago, yeah, you used to see that things quite regularly. It was the norm. And I'm not saying that, you know, people don't do drugs anymore in any shape or form. Yeah. And if that's what people want to do, you know, fair play to them, just don't come near me.
Yeah.
But it's moved on from that now where you can't just do things like that in the office. And that is not cool. But we seem to, all those people from 15 years ago who did really well are now CEOs of their own firms.
Yeah, they are.
And that's the way that they saw it as working. You know, that's the norm for them. You know, come into work, take the whiskey out of the bottom drawer, have a sip because you need that Dutch courage to get on the phone.
Yeah.
It's moved on from that environment and they still think that's the norm. And instead of progressing or changing things, they're like, oh, fuck it, let's go and hire a marketing firm to say we're great and put out some videos of us all being really happy, or, you know, let's start doing video and all this crap that's being sold at the moment.
The other one is let's hire an internal recruiter to go out there and sell to people how amazing this company is, and that poor internal recruiter hasn't got a clue how bad that company is at the same time. Because we've had a few of those come out, haven't we? And they're trying to sell us companies. And you're kind of like, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck.
Let's see how long you last there. And then 6 months later, they're gone.
Yeah.
But it's just, the more and more, though, I see of these companies, they tend to get in this... I know the word pod is used quite a bit. I'd say I still don't really understand what pod is. I think it's a collective of people that suck up to each other, from what I can understand.
Or a heavy metal band from the early 2000s. I think it might be pod.
Oh, God. I've listened to like garage music and dance about it. Linkin Park was my heavy metal. People have gotten to these like pods now where, especially the sort of rec tech space and that sort of area, people think that it's best if they just follow these guys and write on there, oh yeah, your software's great. And, you know, I like Hung Lee, but I'm seeing more and more people kind of going, hey, has everyone read Hung Lee's Brain Food this week sort of thing?
Yeah.
Just to kind of get Hung to reply back to them. Like he's endorsing them, if that makes sense.
Wow, that's good for him though, because he's got himself now to a position that people need that endorsement from.
Mm, exactly. He's got to Oleg levels. Yeah. So, but Hung's actually useful as opposed to Oleg. But it's, I'm seeing more and more of that. And they're viciously, if you slag off one of them, which I tend to do on a weekly basis, the others come after you.
Yo.
And you just think, I've asked a simple question about this technology going, where is the AI involved in this?
Oh,
and definitely. Then they're going absolutely mad at me, going, you're a bully, get off this. I'm going, you're selling software to people. You're talking about your software. I'm asking you a question about your software in kind of more technical than most people are going to ask.
Yeah.
And then you're calling me a bully for asking me a question about what you're selling.
It's a really good point. It's a really good point. Going down that route of vendors, I have vendors I do respect, I think are really good in the marketplace and do some fantastic marketing, like Cameron over at Firefish. Really like what he does and how he works, and the rest of the team, and Wendy and everyone in that business. I think they've hit the nail on the head when it comes to social marketing, I think, for a vendor.
True. Wendy's fantastic.
Yeah. And give them a gold standard. That's the gold standard, in my opinion. There may be better out there, but that's my gold standard. Then you have, I'm not going to mention them because I think it'll be rude to mention them. But you and I both know. You and I both know who the hell we're talking about. There's a few out there that are selling Emperor's New Clothes, and companies are lapping it up. You could improve my candidate response rate. You could AI. Oh yeah, I'll have some bloody AI. AI, that's what everyone's realizing. It's not. Well, not everyone's realizing because they're still bloody buying it. First of all, there's no such thing as AI, even outside of Google's own servers. A second thing, for £50 a month or £250 a month, wherever they're selling it, that's not AI.
And then the thing is, if you go back to and say that's not AI, because I went through a phase, I think, of every time I saw someone say AI on LinkedIn, I'd be like, yeah, that's not AI, that's machine learning. And even then, it's basic machine learning. And they were like, well, you know, people don't really know what ML is, so it's easier to just say AI.
No.
I think, well, it's not. It's like me, you know, going along and sort of saying, hey, look, I just do purely retained services. I do purely retained services.
Yeah.
And then, you know, client go, well, no, this is contingency. And I go, yeah, but it's easier to say retained, isn't it? Because, like, it sounds better. You go, well, no, it's not, because it's something completely different. And you're just using a buzzword to sell shit.
Yeah.
And I was going back on everyone about that. And it just got pointless in the end. Because people just used to block or get pissed off and do this. But it was just basic selling. But then I looked at the people doing the selling and they were ex-recruiters. And I think I don't have a problem with ex-recruiters. Because frankly, I kind of applaud them for getting the fuck out. But it's...
That's a different story, that.
A different story. Yeah, true. Hello, darkness, my friend, and all this stuff. But you just see these guys just selling in the simplest way, but then people lap it up. So why are they not going to do that? But no one ever looks under the hood and goes, right, you know what? This is really good. Because they don't actually understand the technology or what else is out there. They're just going by... Okay,
sold.
This company said they've got AI that's going to, you know, make my life better so I can do more cocaine and less, you know, selling.
I
realize there's a free software somewhere that does exactly the same thing.
I was just going to say, I find that a lot of it is the good old-fashioned find the need and sell to that need, and that's what these software guys are trying to do. They're trying to find the need. There's no need. There isn't a need for half the stuff. A recruiter with a really good Excel spreadsheet, a mobile phone, and access to the internet can do a really good job compared to someone where that has all these freaking tools and CRMs and stuff. We bring these things in to make our job easier, but it's not how I kind of look at it. A return on investment to me is not that I pay £700 a month and I still get the same results. That's not a return on investment. Return on investment is I get 10 times that. Out from me paying £700, and these certainly the mass majority I've come across and tried and used are not doing anything. They're just replacing the last thing I did, which I can't get my head around. I really can't. But you could get them for free. That was the other thing. Yeah, like
no. But yeah, you can get everything for free. And it's. There is some fabulous stuff out there, and there is some great bits. I think we're now getting to a point where we're getting a bit oversaturated with a lot of the bullshit tech that's out there for the recruitment side. A lot of things that do exactly the same thing and they promise you the world, and you go, right, do you know what? Loom does that, or Vidyard does that, or you know, whatever else, and they're both free Chrome extensions. And there's loads of other bits that are out there for free. If you actually, you know, you can go on the Chrome store and look for shit. It's really fun. Do you know what I mean? But it's easy to do. Instead of going out and just picking up the first thing you find, because you know, they put a video up on LinkedIn and 200 people on there liked it and said it was good. But that's just their little pod mentality. You know?
The bubble.
I keep on seeing these webinars and stuff. And this is, you know, a conversation we went back to years ago, or what, a year ago, where we were talking about these webinars. And they're talking about recruitment. And they're telling everyone how to recruit. And you look at the panel, and they're all rec tech people who have either not worked in recruitment or worked in recruitment for 2 weeks, didn't like it, and then went into rec tech. And they're telling me how to recruit. They're telling me how to sell retainers. They're telling me how to do this. They're telling me how to pay for recruitment awards. It's all this stuff I'm going to do, isn't it?
Is that the problem? Is that the problem we're seeing then? Because they're telling us how to recruit. You and I hate that. Don't tell us how to do our jobs. Tell us what your job does to make my job easier. And that's really kind of annoyed us. It's got under our skin, isn't it?
Well, how does it enhance my job? I think if I'm recruiting for a Java developer or something, I don't tell that Java developer during the process how to be a Java developer. I don't tell him what languages he should be using with that, or what he should say he should use in the interview if he doesn't have it.
Yeah.
But these guys are kind of coming in, they're going, Joe, if I tell people how to do retainers, what I'm trying to say is use my software because it will help you sell retainers, not how to do it. And you end up watching, or I don't watch them because it pisses me off, but you can end up watching a video for 20 minutes and the end game is buy our shit. And it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw one of the guy that I got annoyed about who did that in the first place, was at some recruitment conference, like a big recruitment conference recently. And he was on the stage explaining how to sell retainers. Because like someone pulled out and they were like, oh, you're here. Didn't you do a chat about retainers or something? I don't know the full story. That could be wrong. But he ended up doing like a conference, telling people about it. And then that ended. I saw someone post on LinkedIn. He did that. I was like, fucking hell. And even he turned around and goes, I've never sold a retainer before. And then people are going, oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was really inspired by this shit. And it's like, fuck yeah. But all that is doing is getting them up. People are thinking they're better. And they're talking absolute fucking twaddle.
And they create,
winds me up.
Yeah, some of them I've certainly seen. They've actually been creating meetings at certain parts of the country, certain cities in the country, come and learn. And then they go and hire a trainer to come in to teach them to do better business development, to do better trainers. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a great idea. But then it's not to train you that. It's to give this is a twofold situation here. It's to sell the trainer to you and also sell their product at you at the same time. I think it's good that they're thinking outside the box, but it doesn't improve what the product actually is. It's still, well, you know, it's still a CRM. It's still a video software. It's still a machine learning search mechanism, which is no better than an X-ray search.
Wasn't it like I don't care, I can name people, but and they were talking about how, you know, their response rates and all this sort of stuff. I was thinking, wait a minute. Basically, you've got a piece of software that can check to see if someone read my email. So that improves my response rate by me knowing if they read it or not. That just helps me know if they read it or not. If I don't get a reply, that's how I know.
Yeah.
So if they haven't replied back, what do you need to change? You need to change the content, you need to change your delivery, you need to change, you know, the title of the email. That's what you need to figure out. And it's the same as if you do spec outs, if you do anything like that, you might do a certain number in one way, you might do another certain number in another way, and you slowly figure out what works with different audiences, and you change and you adapt over time, and you work out your own way of doing it. And it goes back to that individualism thing that we were talking about on LinkedIn, your own personality coming through.
Yeah.
I've got a guy who works for me at the moment on resourcing side, and he went and sent an email to clients. I said, okay, go and create something for me. I said, I don't want something copied from me. I don't want something copied from someone else. I want you to create your own thing. And he spent the morning doing it. And he came back and it was absolutely fantastic. I said, right, see how that goes for now a bit. And then if you don't see any traction after a week, change something. Change an element of it. Change some of the information you're sending, change the title, change something around it and see if that works.
Yeah.
And over time, as you get more experience, you find out what works for you.
Yeah.
Not, I don't give a shit if someone reads the email, doesn't read the email. It's about, did you get a response?
No. Yeah. I use marketing software like MailChimp for my marketing. And I'll be honest with you, the first few times I started sending out mailers, I was obsessed with red reports. And honestly, absolutely obsessed. Then I stopped myself one morning and I went, well, people reading the email is by to by, in my humble opinion. It's people responding to it is the more important people. So how do I get people to respond more? I don't give a crap who's opening it. Because at the end of the day, if you send out 1,000 emails and only 50 of them are opening it, it's nothing to do with your email. It's the methodology of most of the people's inboxes and the way they open their emails. Some of them will see the subject matter. Some of them will never fucking see it, and it's gone straight to junk mail. Or you got that. Do you remember that dick you used to work with once where he never read an email? You know the one when the manager sacked him and you opened up his emails and there's 10,000 unread emails in that inbox? Do you know those type of people? Do you know the ones I'm on about?
Yes.
You could be mailing those freaking idiots in the world. And so for me, it's all about, right, why am I sending an email? I want to market myself to these people. I've got candidates. I've got a video I want to promote, or I've got some great news about the industry that I want to tell you all about. The people that respond to these different types of bits of information are relevant in several different ways. The HR manager will be very interested in hearing about employment trends, salary surveys, that type of stuff. There's no, and sometimes the odd candidate spec. There's no point sending them in interview with you techniques or something like that. So you've got these categories. So in the end, what I started doing with my mailers is becoming a little bit more generic with what I'm doing across the board. The response was a lot better because then there was about several different things in one email. Like there was a candidate spec, there was a video about interviewing techniques, there was a little bit about salary surveys, and people were responding in different ways. My red receipts went through the bloody roof. But I measured responses, and responses was more important to me than clicks, than and people were going to disagree with this, but I'm not a marketer, I'm a recruiter. That's the difference. So the software, the vehicle of which to do it, if there's a free piece of software to do that, which MailChimp is up to 2,000, and if you've got more than 2,000, open another account. Just do another account and roll the next load onto that. But if you've got a vehicle to do it and it's free, what is the point of paying for someone to do it? Unless, and I say this out loud, they have got marketing emails for me that are 10 times better than what I can do, that I really do deliver. And I think that's what I would pay the money for in the end.
But the thing is, even marketing emails, Mail Merge ones that they've created themselves, they're not going to be bespoke to you. They're not going to be about you. They're not going to be giving the message you want in the way that you want it to do.
Yeah.
I think going to your point about, you just care about people replying back to it, it's the same with LinkedIn, right? If you write a post on LinkedIn, if you get 100 likes, that's the equivalent of people reading your
mailer,
opening your email, but not really taking it in.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I see it. Like, great. Thanks. I've acknowledged that exists.
Yeah.
But right. The engagement that you want is people replying and asking questions or commenting.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, reading emails or comments. Do I want likes or do I want comments? I always want comments because it's something that I can then engage with, I can start a conversation with, and we can find out more information together. But if it's just likes, you can't engage with likes. And that's where I realise, right, I'm getting loads of likes, but I'm not really getting many comments here. Okay, I need to change my content, I need to change what I'm writing, or I need to change something about it.
The way you do that, I found, is you have a subject that is quite important to everyone, or to most people, and then you ask a question at the end of that subject so that people then know that you're not making a statement, you're actually just posing a proposition. And then you'll get the people then that believe in what you say and will agree with you. Then you get the people that will challenge you, and then you get the people that will answer the fucking question that you asked. which is extraordinary. But suddenly, you have created more traction to that post than someone putting a little clappy hand or a little heart or a little like on your post. Which
the unicorn symbol seems to be everywhere at the moment. I don't think people understand what a fucking unicorn is.
I don't know. That's most of my candidates are unicorns, apparently. So I need to find them.
And if they're not if they're unicorns, they don't exist. Then why the fuck am I working on it?
Yeah, right. Good point.
Obviously exists. Otherwise, there's no point. It's like whenever I get someone come up to me and go, "Oh, I need you to find this unicorn candidate." I'm like, "Well, if it's a unicorn, I ain't gonna find it. Leave me alone. Go away."
Absolutely.
Or I'll find you a horse and I'll sellotape a spike on his head or something, and you can have that. But
yeah, that was I was going to say, was we've been off on a few tangents there. The approach on LinkedIn for some of these companies back when we were talking about agencies and the way they come across, the approach on LinkedIn that I seem to find with some of those companies is quite random. That they, how can I put it, they seem to put a couple of pool tables and these 1950s diners looks to their office, and then they moan them because they're staff like to play pool when they should be doing BD, and they're in the breakout room doing BD. And I've seen these posts. Remember the one from Australia that moaned about it, that open email to everyone? Do you remember that one?
I don't remember last week, mate, to be honest.
That's a very good point.
Get old.
Yeah, no.
I tell you what, I think breakout is absolutely fantastic in businesses, because if you work in an office sometimes, you don't have that breakout area and people kind of sit and eat at their desk. People don't talk. They don't communicate. And so much of our job is about sharing information and helping each other out, especially in an office environment. You know, what clients are you working with at the moment? What candidates are you working with? How's things going? Offering advice to junior people, getting advice if you are junior. And just sharing information is so important.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that breakout area, a lot of the time that doesn't happen, because people become quite siloed. They go to their desk, they eat at their desk, they don't move away from that. So they don't have that conversation. So things like that are quite important, and it is good, but I don't think I'd ever sell a company, or my company, or anyone's company on, we've got a breakout area and we've got a pool table. Like, I'm sitting in an office at the moment, I'm staring at a table, football table. We never use it. And frankly, I'm the main one to use it, because I go and take the balls out of it and start juggling with it. Then you just hear a massive dunk when these balls hit the wooden floor. But it's the only thing they've got that they can say about themselves. That's the thing. When you start sitting there going, the only thing we can say about ourselves that are different is that we've got pool tables.
This is it. I saw a video earlier on, and it was quite extraordinary, actually. It sounded like a BD call pitch to this video in the wrong aspect ratio, by the way, and I can rant about aspect ratio on video all day. She's a lovely lady. I can tell she's a nice person, but she's basically selling the business and what she does in a video. First of all, it's boring. No, who's watching that? I am interested in speaking to companies that can. Why are they interested in speaking to you then? What is the reason why they should be speaking to you? And you can tell that. Do some video, Claire. Why don't you go and do that? So her name's not Claire, by the way, something else. Go and do some video, Claire. We should do that. Oh, all right, I'll do a video. No training, no support, no nothing. I'll just do this video on my iPhone. And some of them next to a sewer outlet or something like that.
I remember that one. Yeah, that was awful.
Let's rant about feminism whilst we're at it and sell you a job at the same time. But with a little bit of training and a little bit of support, I could probably turn her into someone that does video every day or video every week by talking about some subject matters in her sector that are important to those companies. And that's the difference between a good marketing video. But where it all begins is at the company and how the company perceives itself as marketing and how the company perceives itself as how it wants to do it. Because if all they're doing is telling them, right, go do BD and point at the phone, then all they're going to get is what you get from that. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, but people have different strengths, don't they, in recruitment? It's the same as, you know, you have people that really enjoy the BD side, you have people that enjoy the sourcing side. The same goes for video, email, phone calls. Some people find they do really well when they make phone calls and they hate sending emails because they can't get traction with it. It's slow.
Yeah.
Some people love sending emails and they're very good at creating content, written content that way. Some people find videos are really good and they're very good at, you know, looking, I don't know what the word is, cool or honest on videos, I suppose.
Yeah.
They're able to create good content that way. Some people look like deer in headlights.
Yes.
And they're not comfortable with it, and you know they're not comfortable with it. So why would you continue to force someone to do that? I mean, yes, they could get some training, but if someone doesn't enjoy doing that, don't make them do it. There's no point. There's you know, there's a lot of people out there that do a lot of videos and stuff. You can tell probably have like modeling profiles online and tried to be a model when they're 18, 19, and now they're reliving that in their late 20s.
At a recruitment agency in Hull.
And a recruitment, yeah, exactly. selling, you know, construction recruitment or something along those lines. And that's fine because it works and they're good at it. As long as they can get the content to go with it, fine. Yeah. You know, you're never going to see, I don't think, a video of me selling any jobs.
No, me neither, mate. Me neither.
Oh, you're right. So, I mean, I don't like video because, as I've always said, I'm quite a fugly guy. Do you know what I mean? I don't care. I've got a big beard. I'm actually skinny at the moment as well. I've shaved all my hair off.
But no, but you would do videos like this, though. Well, this is not a video, this is a podcast. But, you know, you would do videos like this where you discuss the nuances of jobs or what's going on in the marketplace and what's happening in the world. I wouldn't.
And that's the thing. I wouldn't do something. I don't mind doing, a webinar occasionally. I've been on a few, but I don't really enjoy them. Do you know what I mean? I just sit there and I look like I want to kill someone or I just want to vape. Like, I'm sitting there going, I really could do with a smoke at the moment. That's it. And you just see a cloud of smoke going across the screen as I'm doing it. But actually doing something along those lines, no, because it doesn't work for me. And it's not, I'm very good at the email side, the written side, very good on the phone, I think. I don't know, I'm quite funny. but that's about it. So if someone tried to shove me on a video, I think I'd have a nervous breakdown. I honestly would. But then I'd never force it in my staff to do that either.
True. Yeah. Unless
their strengths.
Unless somebody came to you and said, I want to do a video now. Can I do a video? And you go, yeah, fucking go for it.
Yeah, sure. Look, try Loom, try video, try this. Knock yourself out. If you think that's going to do well, let's go for it. Let's try it. And I'm more than happy for you to do that because the thing in recruitment and what I've said is the strongest skill you can have is common sense. And common sense is so important because you want to stay ahead of what everyone else is doing. You don't want to be necessarily a late adopter, which I suppose I could be with video at the moment. But if everyone is sitting there going, let's do video, eventually hiring manager can be pissed off with getting 500 videos from recruiters of all the candidates that are 10 minutes long.
Oh.
They don't have enough time to watch the video, so they stop doing it. So they just revert back to phone calls or emails or something. So you want to be on the thing that's ahead of that. Whether, you know, I mean, I got into LinkedIn 15 years ago when it first came out. And then I was like, right, okay, LinkedIn's good. It's getting a lot more recruiters. What's next? Okay, Zing's looking good in the Benelux region. There's been a lot of Benelux recruitment there. Okay, what else is there? Golden Lion, like Polish-Russian version. So I got onto that. And it's always trying to find the next thing that no one else is using.
Yeah.
To especially recruiters. And trying to find somewhere else and communities where you can find candidates that isn't saturated. And I think that's one of the most important things. So where everyone's jumping on this video bandwagon and other rec tech bandwagon, if everyone else is using it, what makes you different? Same as the snooker table in the office.
Oh,
same as your personalities on LinkedIn. If everyone does the same thing, you're not standing out.
You're not.
So how do you make yourself stand out and be different? And that's what we're missing in all parts of recruitment at the moment. No one, everyone's just following the herd.
I agree, and there are examples of people doing a lot better with it, and like I mentioned at the start, Mark Gaisford is doing phenomenal. I've tried to get ahead. Hopefully, I'm somewhere in the running pack of video and doing things differently and trying to get my personality out there. I've got a whiteboard of stuff I still need to do, and there's tons. there's absolutely loads more to do. But I enjoy it, and that's the important part. If you enjoy it, do it. If you don't enjoy it and you think video is pointless, don't do it. It's not for you.
Yeah, you're doing, yeah, exactly. Don't if you enjoy it. Something, do it. It works for you because look, recruitment's tough enough already. Right? And if you're coming into work and you're going, oh, God, I really don't want to have to do this video today. My boss is going to make me do like a 20-minute video, and I know it's going to take like an hour because there'll be outtakes and stuff, and I don't feel confident about doing it. No one needs that in their life. Do you know what I mean? We don't need that, because that's an hour you could have spent doing better things, phone calls, dealing with your clients, getting somebody at the door.
Yeah, write a better advert. You know what I mean? That might be the key for you, is better advert.
Go and speak to Mitch Sullivan. Mitch's course or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Go speak to him.
There's no point doing things that are painful to some degree. I mean, a lot of our job is painful, but you know, doing less is possible.
I mean, I know plenty of people, like, say, for instance, there's a couple of rec-to-recs I'm aware of. They don't do video. They don't do blogs. They don't even really do much social media. And they are killing it. They're doing so well in a marketplace where some of it's retained, some of it's contingency, whatever it is. And they're doing really well. But what they do, they do what they know really well they can do, if that makes sense. They just get on the phone, or they send an email, or they just do that, and that's all they do, and it works. They don't need anything else on top of that. I find that fascinating, really fascinating.
Well, it's not that necessarily fascinating. You can go back to recruitment initially, it was just a phone, you run CVs around people's offices, you didn't have emails. Every new tech that comes in makes our job easier, and then makes it harder in the same way.
Yeah.
Like before emails, it was all phone calls. A client couldn't avoid talking to you about things because you just get them on the phone eventually, because they knew if they wanted to communicate with you, they couldn't sit there and go pop you off with something, because they do it on the phone and then you'd ask them the question immediately. You didn't have to wait for the follow-up email to get a reply.
Yeah.
But then it's made it easier to send over contracts, send candidates quickly, instead of, you know, sending one of the office juniors to run 20 miles across London to drop off a CV because you didn't want to pay for their cab. it was stuff like that. But now email technologies that we've got coming in are like video and all this other stuff and all this other AI crap. Yes, some of it does enhance and it makes things better, but then it also causes its own problems as well.
Yeah.
So it's weighing up, is something going to cause me more pain than good?
I agree.
And that's most of the time I work there. Okay, this might streamline my process a little bit.
Yeah.
This might knock off half a day on my time to hire, but it's going to cause so much more pain at this area of it.
You know, though.
Which is the most frustrating part of my job. You know, it's that sort of thing. Or it's going to cause issue from a compliance element, or there's going to be a GDPR issue, but it does knock off my time to hire burden.
But that one thing, though, that you just said, that will it knock off this, and this, that's a very surgical way of thinking about it. And then you've got to remember, you're dealing with people. So as much as you think it's going to knock half a day off, if one person doesn't answer the phone to you in a chain of events that need to happen, that's 3 days knocked on anyways. And then you look at how much you just paid for that piece of software or wherever it is, and it hasn't really invented to anything new. You know, it hasn't given you anything advantage in the marketplace. That's how I look at it. It's at the end of the day, if someone invented a piece of software that can find me every single candidate that can do service engineering or compressors in Coventry, I will buy it. But none of them can. Not even job boards can do that. And it's all down to where the candidate's availability comes from, where they're based, and where they, you know, it's all down to that. You know this because you use Slack and channels like that.
You
hear them say.
Well, the toughest thing is just finding candidates.
That's the real challenge.
I remember the analogy before, and it was, every bit of rec tech now is essentially, you know, the toilet, in a sense. It's when you get to the end of your process, it's there to clean up everything at the end of it.
Yeah.
When you're finished, I can't remember the analogy correctly, to be honest, because I'm half hungry now and I'm just thinking about food. But it's the hardest thing in any recruitment job at the moment is finding those amazing candidates. jobs not hard to pick up at the moment because of the way the market is. It's a candidate-driven market. If you've got the candidates, you get the jobs. Or you can go and get loads of jobs, but you can't fill them because you can't find enough good candidates, especially in the tech world at the moment. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I must have 200 Java developer jobs on my desk.
Yeah.
That's the thing, that you can't find those candidates. And if you do find a way to get those candidates, it's fantastic. And there are so many avenues these days, you know, in tech again, to go and find candidates. It's finding what communities they hang around in.
Yeah.
But then everything else is just about the process. It's like, right, well, once you've found that candidate, we'll show you our software, we'll help you engage with them. Well, once you've engaged with that candidate, we'll help put them in a talent pipeline. Well, once they're in that talent pipeline, we'll show you how to payroll. Well, once we've done the payrolling, if the agency doesn't pay, we'll send bouncers around to go and get the money off them.
It's that. But nothing fixes the getting a candidate. There are a few bits out there. Amazing Hiring I used recently is absolutely fantastic for tech recruiters.
Oh, really? Okay.
Absolutely the best piece of software I've ever used.
What's so special about it? Why does it work well for you?
It's just because it's a sourcing kit and it's very much x-ray driven. Like, I can see how clever it is on the x-ray side, but it kind of pulls candidates from lots of different sources and then puts them all the information into one profile. But where they're technical candidates, say you've got a front-end developer or a JavaScript developer, say, it will tell you how good they are at JavaScript based off the tech sites that they have their code on. And then it will compare them against everyone else on that site. So if you've got something like GitHub, it will tell you that, you know, this person is in the top 1% of Java developers in the world, compared against everyone else on GitHub. And you know it's true because you go and have a little purge on Google employees and you see they're the top 0.001% in the world. You're like, yeah, that makes sense. So when you've got something like that and it gives you if they have their communication details on GitHub or Stack Overflow or LinkedIn, it will tell you and give it to you.
Yeah.
But being able to go to them and go, look, I've seen you on like the top 1% of GitHub at Java at the moment, helps with your engagements. It shows that you've taken an interest and you found out information about them and not just, hi, you're a Java developer, I have job, you want type
shit. Yeah.
That's good. But then selling them to a client as well. Look, I know you've got to do a technical test, but hey, look at this guy's GitHub, look at this guy's Stack Overflow, look at his hacker rank. You'll see that he is actually the top 1% in the world at Java at the moment. You know, that's
powerful, mate.
It beats the review process, and it is a bloody, it's just, and it's nice to use, it's pretty intuitive.
That's really
It's good. Easy.
That's really good.
So you need that for engineering, basically.
Well, it's a shame that there wasn't one, but there'll never be something like that because it's so subjective in the engineering world that it's boots on the ground, mate. It's making connections, it's networking. They find these guys, you know, every candidate you speak to, you know someone, and they go, oh, I know Bob, go and speak to Bob. And you get, you know, you somehow find Bob because he didn't have his phone number on him. And then he'll say to someone, and then, you know, you're 2-3 weeks down the line and you've spoken to 10-15 people in this chain of people for this one job, and then you find that guy. I love that bit, by the way. That's the thrill. But I wish, if someone was to sell me a piece of software that can do that for me, oh, man, I'm all over that. I'll pay 50 quid a week for that. You know what I mean? Oh,
a little bit more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm just pretending.
It's good.
Yeah. But in your market, it will exist because it is that forward thinking. It is that much into the future of where it needs to be. But then if you're going to this is the one thing about candidates then after that. Say you and I are probably in the same boat once we've got these good candidates. Once we put them on the CRM and we speak to them regularly or email them regularly, that is really down to you and how you do that. It's not about a fancy piece of software that does that for you. But most CRM... I mean,
there are benefits to a decent CRM. You know, I'm not going to lie.
I agree.
You've got something that's quick to pick up and you've got junior people coming in and it's easy for them to figure out and you can kind of link it into other bits. Great.
Yeah.
And you can find some that do... I mean, I'm using one or I have been using one recently and it's awful. It's absolutely awful. It's one of the most expensive ones on the market and it's absolutely... just god awful, just simple Boolean search. It doesn't recognize Boolean properly.
That's extraordinary because you can go and peel that code in off Google themselves.
You know what I mean? You can buy that. Well, you don't have to buy it. It's free.
No, you can just go to this API and kind of plug it into pretty much anything. But yeah, it's like a bit of an embarrassment. But I'm just kind of sitting there going, Joe, I could be bothered to search this. Yeah. So you do end up with this point where you go back to the original thing and going, Joe, I might as well have my own Excel sheet. But then GDPR.
There's ways and means of going of where you could probably do that quite, how can I put it, compliantly if you did do it.
Yeah, GDPR is just a boogeyman these days. Pretty much anything I do where I think, oh, I don't know if I should do that, I just go, oh, GDPR.
Yeah, I know. It scares me so, mate. I had my first GDPR request in a year last month, and they went into their file, and all I had was a CV and their address. So I sent them a copy of that, and that was it. That was it. And it's not that scary, but when you get it, you kind of shit yourself a little bit. Shit, I hope it's not a file with something that's said on it. No, I don't do that. I just put fact.
I hope it's not that candidate that called an effing FF and this sort of thing and wrote on his profile, never worked with him again.
No, luckily not. But I don't have many of them. Admittedly, I don't have many of those type of things. And if they are, then I'll just send them a quick email saying I'm now deleting your file. So I don't need to add that information onto the database. I know.
Yeah, true.
I've read a few profiles before now when on CRMs where the C word's used many a times. But yeah. Oh God! So, Tim, thank you very much for this. This I'm going to name this the Rants with Tim and Mark. But no, it's not really.
And I was only going at 50%. To be honest,
you haven't. Mate! You mentioned one company, and that was it. I'm very impressed.
I had a list as well. Luckily, I left a list on my desk. Right, I'm going to go after these guys. These, no, it's Friday, mate. I'm in a good mood. So, if I did this Wednesday, it would have been awful.
Be different. Because for the listeners, Wednesday would have been an extraordinary day to do a podcast with you.
When I was having a nervous breakdown.
Yeah, it would have been brilliant. But no, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. We'll try to do this regularly. The rants with Tim and Mark on a Friday. I think we should do it.
Oh, yeah. I accept I'd like to go to the pub on a Friday. But yeah, sure. Yeah, it's all right. Ruin my Friday.
Do the next one from the pub.
that would be... It's maybe not a good idea on that one, mate. I don't think, but
definitely brilliant, mate. Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, mate. Speak to you soon.
No worries, man. You too, fella. Speak care. Bye.
I guess that's probably the best message to take away from this podcast this week is being yourself. Being yourself in your job is not that easy, but if you can do it the best you can, you're probably going to get really far. And that's one thing about recruitment. It's a personal thing. You know, you're dealing with people. And if you can deal with people by being yourself, then you've got nowhere to hide. You don't have to pretend, do you? You don't have to put a mask on every day. So, yeah, really good chat with Tim. Hopefully we'll have a few more conversations in the near future around other subject matters. But, just wanted to get our voices out there, the rantings of Tim and Mark. Podcast coming soon. I've got some really exciting people coming soon. So I hope you guys can stick around and hear other things that I have done. Take care. Bye-bye.